are not those of Eagle FM and any
of its
staff.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombery, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's the 18th of March, 2026, and it's 14 minutes past the hour of 6. And you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station. That is Eagle FM. We are bringing you international, continental, regional, and also national news, especially in the area of politics, economics, and trade. So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8 in the morning. There's a lot of things happening, but what is necessary is to make sure that you focus on the game. What is necessary is also to make sure that you wake up and do what you can do best to make sure that in terms of contribution to your personal growth, contribution to your community growth, and also your national development should be one of your key priorities. So before we move on forward, let us look at ShopRite and come back shortly.
Get ready, Namibia, for 1 week of incredible savings with the Namibia Price Smash at ShopRite. Make it the perfect Independence Weekend with deals like 4 kgs Real Good Chicken frozen mixed portions for only $199.99 and 2 litre Coca-Cola Original Taste Less Sugar Soft Drink for just $19.99. Don't miss out on the Namibia Price Smash, valid until 22 March 2026, only at ShopRite.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Just before we move on, it's very important to remember that like any other Wednesday, the Villager newspaper is out, and make sure that you subscribe, you like, and also download the paper, so that you'll be able to get your content and also context of economic affairs. So let us start with what is happening in the continent of Africa. Then we'll also be able to look at a little bit on the Middle East. Then we come back to Namibia, because the discussion for today will be looking at some of the success stories, some of the things that we are saying we are very happy about, some of the things that we can say we are very proud, especially when it comes to Namibia going to be 36 years just in a few days. And from there, we'll also be able to look at an analysis of what are some of the continued persisting challenges, and look back at the journey, especially from the hour of 7 there, when I'm going to be joined by Gabriel Yambo, who's a public policy analyst. He's also a researcher in the area of history and also developmental affairs. And yeah, looking at continental news, one of the dominating news, apart from what is happening in Iran, stated that CAF, that is a confederation of African football, has over 10 Senegal win in African Cup of Nation champion. And it's indicated that CAF over 10 Senegal win, and after an appeal, then awarded the trophy back to Morocco. Well, there was a controversial African Cup of Nation final around January there. Then after an appeal, it was indicated that the winner now is not the Lions of Terags, but the board is agreed that after the analysis and also looking at the appeal, then Morocco now is the champion. Something which is bringing a lot of public attention, comments. You look on social media, and you're also looking at history, especially regarding the African Cup of nations. And also what is interesting is also that when you look into that match, it was totally controversial. But there have been elements of, you know, treatment of Senegal, you know, football players before, during, and also after that match that was, you know, that happened in Morocco. But those are the things which are happening in football. After an analysis, after an appeal, you realize that, you know, it was too early to celebrate. And, you know, it's really need to be looked at to say what really happened. And also what are some of, you know, key mistakes that was done. Was it just, or it is just, you know, those are the issues which surprise you in football. Yeah, while we are there, this indicator that, you know, when it comes to, Nigeria, the jihadists continue with their attacks, and, you know, they are continuing their attacks, particularly to military facilities, and the number of deaths is increasing every day. And the future of Nigeria, especially when it comes to peace and security, it's in the dark. Because when you are dealing with jihadists, when you are dealing with a religion-backed militia, it's very difficult to defeat, because it's not only in Nigeria, it's not only in Central Africa, but it's also here in Southern Africa, particularly that area of Mozambique. But we are yet to see how the developments are going to be, if African leaders are going to assist, if African Union will still have power to assist, particularly when it comes to silencing of gun, or it is going to continue like this. Boko Haram and other militia, they have been into existence for a long time now. When you look at from 2014 there, you'll be able to realize that there have been a lot of incidents, particularly in the Western African countries. But we are yet to see how things are going to turn out. Yeah, looking at the Middle East, you know, it was indicated that looking at the balance of power, particularly between Iran, Israel, and USA, seems like you know, Iranians government is continue to lose top generals and influential figures, particularly in the war in the Middle East. And one of the recent key political and also security figure in Iranian you know, corridors of power, and he has been influential in not only in the politics but also in pursuing the ideology of you know, Iranian government. And this guy has been main advisor to the former Ayatollah, and has been you know, the head of Supreme Security Council. He was killed, and that this Ali Rarijani was killed in an attack. They are also indicating that another top general is fallen in Iranian war. And it's a guy who was at one point the professor. He decided to make sure that he continue with fighting. And you know, looking into this context, one will also be able to ask to say, is this a time for negotiation? Is this a time to end this conflict? Because it's indicated that just after the death of Rarijani, who was a key figure in the politics of Iran, and also external politics, it was just indicated that there was an appointment again of a military advisor. There was one general who was already appointed, that is Mohsane Rezai, was appointed as a military advisor to Mujtaba Khamenei, and also to continue leading and also advising on Security Council. But it seems like Israel is able to pinpoint the influential figures in the politics of Iran, and war is continuing in the Middle East. The price of oil per barrel is increasing in the US, in the Middle East, in Africa. and other countries, particularly in the northern part of Africa, have already started paying the price of that war. And one also has to look at what will happen post the war in Iran. Is it going to be a stable country? Is it going to be the end of peace in the Middle East? And also looking at other countries that are also looking at their involvement. And these are not coincidence, because yesterday again, one of Trump's security chief, especially the former, now you can say the former, who was a director of counterterrorism center, has resigned due to the same issue, that is war. And he is indicating that the war is not justifiable. But, you know, it's a lot of development which are happening. And also the interesting figure in that politics is, you know, it's Mr. Zelensky. Mr. Zelensky is also playing his diplomacy, and he's also at the center. This is, it's also indicated that when it's come to Zelensky, that is the president of Ukraine, he has also donated some of the drones in the Middle East to his main supplier, that is, you know, United States. Also in the future, when European countries have decided not to support the war in the Middle East, the rest is also trading. At the same time, he's also fighting the Russians in his country. But you are just wondering to say, how is this war going to end? Because there's a lot of parties that are involved. And as we are speaking, the Strait of Hormuz is still closed. And only those ships that got authorization of Iran that will be allowed to move through. But it has really impacted the economy of the world. China is also complaining. Russia is also complaining. The U.S., they are trying by all means to make sure that the Strait of Hormuz is open. And it seems like NATO members have changed their mind. They are not interested in sending their military in the Strait of Hormuz, but yet to see how things are going to happen. It's a very interesting time to be alive, but it's also time for leaders also to learn a lesson, to say one political decision can impact the lives of millions of people. One uncalculated political move can make things worse. And that's why power is important, particularly when it's used correctly. And also, there is nothing that beat diplomacy. Although there are some analysts who like indicating that, you know, diplomacy can be a form of weakness. But looking at preserving peace and stability, and also looking at the people, you realize that at the end of the day, diplomacy may be the best option, particularly in the world where countries are now having advanced technology. They can be able to make their own weapons, and it's very difficult to call them to order like those days. And it's also testing the strength of power. So you realize that at the end of the day, they have to come and sit, because the future of the Middle East depends on not only who has firepower, but who can continue maintaining institution and also protecting the people. So when you compare with the Prime Minister of India, we'll be able to realize that, you know, sometimes it's necessary to protect a billion of people that you are leading rather than picking side. But sometimes it's also questionable, particularly if you are my friend, but in a time of trouble, you are also just talking and also not coming to me and assisting me. But I think when you look at it from both sides, you realize to say, when a leader decided to negotiate and discuss issues rather than using his firepower, then it will mean a lot, particularly looking at the future. And Indians are also known to have a very strong background in diplomacy. If you look at the history, look at Mahatma Gandhi, and also other influential figure, you realize to say there is a lot that we are also expecting looking in the way forward. So, it's 28 minutes past the hour of 6. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. So let's look at the short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue with the conversation, particularly looking at economic development, politics, trade, and international affairs.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the eye. Ashike Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angetashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko berewa dora hetatu natu bali o hetatu hatatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 31 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are continuing with continental and also international news. Coming here to our neighboring country, especially South Africa. It was indicated that South African state prosecutors reinstate bribery charges against the former minister, and that is former minister Zizi Nkondwa. It was indicated that former government minister in the South African cabinet, Zizi Nkondwa, and also one of the senior figure in African National Congress who face bribery charges as South African prosecutors reinstate his charges. And it was stated that Zizi Nkondwa was arrested in 2024 while serving as a minister for sport and arts. He was accused of taking $85,000 bribes in connection with contracts to upgrade and maintain a software system in Johannesburg. So that is what is happening. When it's coming to prosecution in South Africa, you know, South Africa may have other critical issues that are happening, but when it's your time to face the law, they will take you. This is a country that know, if you did something and, you know, they investigate you, they'll come pick you up. And there's nothing like a small fish in South Africa or a big fish. That's why you see that even the point of a former, not only a former minister, because if you look at history, realize to say, even one of the most liked former president of South Africa, Jacob Zuma, who was also known, or who is still known as the people's president, he was also at one point arrested because of failing to comply with Zondo Commission instructions. And looking at Zinkondo, you know, some may also look at this as you know, some of the charges that looking at the future of ANC too, because these were or have been some of the guys who are very influential in the politics of African National Congress. And you also look at the future of ANC to say how are they going to progress, particularly with the upcoming you can say it's Congress, but the conference that will be able also to look at electing of the future leadership of ANC. And Zinkondo has been heading communication department for a very long time, and has been at the center of not only ANC politics but also national politics of South Africa. But you see, if an authority decided to reinstate your charges, it means that maybe they have found different evidence, particularly looking at the bribe of $85,000. And when you look at $85,000 in bribe, if you put that in rent, then you realize that it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And once the person faces authority, we'll see what will happen moving forward. And it's not only about Zinkondo. When you look at the ongoing ad hoc committee and also commission of inquiry, you are just asking yourself to say, when is this going to come to an end, and what will be the final conclusion? And other news are also indicating that, you know, you still expect important figures in South African politics to come and also appear in those committees. But we are yet to see how the development is going to be, especially looking at the aspect of South Africa. And another development, especially that is happening in the African continent, you realize to say there is still punishment, especially looking at the countries that are not accepting the deals, especially from the United States of America. There, it was stated that the U.S. is considering to cut the HIV aid to Zambia, especially when the authority of Zambia has refused to cooperate in line with allowing the U.S. to secure critical minerals. And in that aspect, it was indicating that the U.S. is considering cutting, you know, aid, especially when it comes to one of the strategy to push for access, you know, mineral deals. About 1.3 million people depends on U.S.-funded treatment program in Zambia. And just not long ago, Zambian, you know, resisted part of the deal over data sharing and also sovereignty concern. And in that aspect, you also be able to understand that it's not only Zambia, Zimbabwe too. And these are now open, you know, strings attached. There's nothing to hide anymore. Like those years when you go back to 2015, there you realize that when scholars of international development, scholars of development studies and economics are speaking about loans and aid coming with strings attached, it was like you know, those hidden things. But now it's an open discussion to say I'm giving you assistance for the treatment of your people. At the same time, when it comes to mining deals, you are giving me, special treatment. If you don't want, your people are going to suffer. What about other countries that did not say anything? Are those assistance also apply to all the countries, or is only those that we are hearing now because they have refused to do so? And Zimbabwe is saying, it's not going to happen. And if you see, country that has been in need for a very long time saying it's not going to happen, you also need to understand maybe the content of the deal too, to say to what extent it's compromising the independence of the country and also the control of the resources of the country. And looking into that, it's also a question of not only to listen to the speeches of African Union leaders and also continental economists who are speaking about the importance of people to be best negotiators and understand trade deals. But it's also about commonalities or having a common purpose as a continent, especially when it comes to minerals. If you look at what has been stated in the G20, if you also compare to what has been stated during the mining in Damba in South Africa, particularly looking at the framework of dealing with critical minerals and rare earth minerals, you'll be able to see and also understand that, Africa is striving toward having that common vision, particularly when it comes to not only processing, but also accessing and also importance of ownership. But are we listening? Are we just speaking on paper? Or that is still a discussion that need to be finalized? And, things are happening in Zambia. It's going to pay the price, especially if you have 1.3 million people that depends on US-funded treatment program. Are you going to consider? Are you going to reconsider? Or you are going to stand with your decision? And you also need to be honest with yourself. Are you going to choose standing down? Do you have an alternative? Or you are going to reconsider? Or you are also going to renegotiate, because sometimes it's not only about you being cornered, it's also about what you can give and how you are going to give it, and also to what extent. The best negotiators will still be able to speak and fight their way on how to balance between social stability and also the resources of the country, because sometimes you really see to say you have resources for a very long time. And have you done anything that they give you additional power to negotiate? Or is still that resources that is still in the raw form? And maybe also to say that what is the best alternative option? Because this is not the end. It's also another initiation of discussion and also finding a way on solving these issues. Because sometimes you understand countries such as Malawi. They are speaking about reducing aid and look at FDI, but it's a case study to look at, and it's a lesson to learn to say what happened in the situation where aid more than domestic investment. What happened with if aid are the one which are running the country, and what will happen to innovation? What will happen to the future of countries such as Malawi? And what lesson is being learned, particularly when it comes to mineral resources, other natural resources, and also how the nations, particularly in Africa, are utilizing those resources. Zambia is cornered, and let's see and wait what will happen, especially moving forward. Yeah, and the other continental news, especially that is it's not only devastating, but it's also indicating the cost of war. And we should not forget that when everybody is excited Everybody is analyzing, everybody is speaking about what is happening in the Middle East. The reality of the matter is that problems in Africa are not, did not end, particularly the war in DRC. That took a very long time, and the conflict that have never ended. They stated that tens of thousands of Congolese refugees are into harsh condition, especially in Burundi. Especially in Burundi, Busoma camp, after freeing, renewed fighting in eastern DRC, which are making lacking of food, shelter, and also unclear information about separated family members. Some people are lost on the way. Some people, they lost each other on the way. Some people are dead. Children are looking for their mothers. Mothers are looking for their children, and partners are looking for each other, because after all, it's not only you separated from your village, but it's also destruction of relationship, so destruction of mother to child bonds. It's also destruction of love affairs, and also economy, and also the future of the people. And how is this situation going to end? Because when it comes to humanitarian crisis, as we are speaking now, United Nations does not have enough money, especially to fund the African program. Because if you look at the statistics and numbers, you realize to say Africa has been the great recipients of most of UN humanitarian programs, most of UN peacekeeping missions, and also other projects, particularly that are looking at the basic needs such as food, sanitation, and also public health. But looking into this context, I realize to say there is a lot that we are expecting in Africa, especially when you look at limited global funding. You know, if you want to be honest with yourself, and also understand that when people are saying there is no money in the UN, and when you start a conflict, it's not going to end well, or when you disrupt your system and your institution, it's not going to end well, because nobody who is coming to save Africa, if Africa is not saving itself. Because one of the things that I have realized that when it comes to funding, especially from the global arena, there is no fund there, and people are still struggling to get fund. There was just recently, when I have attended, you know, the signing of an agreement, especially from FAO and our Ministry of Agriculture, you realize to say there is a standing project that is signed from 2025 to 2029, but you realize that not 50% of the funds that are still there. The money is there, but even with international institutions, you realize that there is lobbying of other parties to make sure that when it comes to utilization, when it comes to implementation of that project, the money is there. But you realize to say, especially a project of country program framework, and it's not only about Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, it's many other agencies. Because if you remove the US, if you remove other countries' political will to give funds to UN, if you look at the results of UN, then you realize to say most of the suffering is going to happen in Africa. Because signs are always there. If you are reading beyond the obvious, signs are always there. Because not really to speak, you know, really not to appreciate what FAO is doing. But if you look at the project of a total budget of, for example, of $15.65 million, and it's only $6.8 million US dollar that is mobilized, and the funding gap is more than the money which is there, then you realize that there is still more which need to be done in African countries. We must really move, not really to say away from international support, but we must realize that it's for a very long time also that we have been assisted. It's for a very long time that we have been assisted. It's now the time to make sure that we also assist ourselves, because the pain should not only be in Africa. We must really stand and make sure that we do things ourselves. And if it's assistance from outside, it must not be more than 50%, because, you know, with much respect, you realize to say the leaders of Africa also find themselves in difficult situation where an external influencer is saying this, your people are saying this. Then you also have yourself in the middle. If you become an internationalist and you praise the external power, then your people are going to give you trouble. If you only focus on your people, then they are going to struggle your economy. Then it's not about finding somebody who is fundamental and is not able to change, but also finding somebody who has to balance, because at the end of the day, the current system is structured in the way that external power, directly or indirectly, still have influence in the decision, in what you eat, in what you depend on, what to give your people. And control is becoming very difficult, especially for African, not only leaders, but African people, to thrive toward their goals. That's why you still have goals that are standing. You still have African, you know, Agenda 2063. You still have Africa Continental Free Trade Area. You still have Vision 2030. Then you realize to say, maybe, apart from good intention, apart from projected finance, maybe there was also supposed to be a strategy on how to deal with international influence, to say in this development, what is the strategy of balancing the people, at the same time also dealing with international influence, which is inevitable. It's seen in foreign direct investment. It's seen in not only in mining, but it's seen in a lot of areas. It's seen in projects. Sometimes you are seeing a lot of money coming into Namibia and you look at the project, you say, no, I'm not undermining the quality of this project. But is that really our priority now? Who is at the head of that? If people need water, yes, it's good to build them house, but you must look at what people need. If people need houses, you cannot give them clothes. If they need clothes, you cannot give them food. Then you really realize to say sometimes, yes, it's a good project. Sometimes, yes, it's good money, but is that really addressing the Namibian problem? Is that really addressing the Zambian problem or the, you know, DRC problem? Then you also be able to look into that context. But that is what is happening. This is what is happening. And more will be able to come, especially when we'll be in the conversation. We'll be in the conversation with Gabriel Yambo from the Hour of Seven. Especially when you look at where we came from as a country. What are things to celebrate about? What are some of the things that we are very happy? And also ask yourself a question to say, if you want to look at Namibian progress, compare with other countries. Don't only look at peace. Look at your stage. Either you are an adult, you are an, a pensioner, you are a young person. What are the benefits that you are enjoying in Namibia that are not in Angola, that are not in Botswana, that are not in South Africa, that are not in Egypt? In terms of education system, what are some of the benefits that we are enjoying? In terms of domestic economic development, what are some of the benefits that we are enjoying? What have happened? What was not there in 1990 that is still here? What was not here in 2015, but now we have it? What is that Namibia was striving for in 2002 that it has now achieved? And what are some of those things that you can really say, here, we are ahead What are some of the things that we need to celebrate in terms of policies? And it's only from there then you can also be able to move forward and also see that you also have other challenges that you need to deal with. But when you are celebrating your birthday, it's like a person's birthday. When you are celebrating your birthday, you also need to look at yourself and say, I'm very proud of you, David. I'm very proud of you mentioning yourself. And look at things that you have done very well. Look at things that you wanted. Because sometimes there are things that you are really happy about. Then you look at yourself to say, no, 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 here, I think it should not continue. Or here, I think I need to work it out. Or here, I'm still balancing. Good morning. Hello.
David, sorry, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Before your police analyst come, you may not be in time.
No, 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 it's your time too. It's our time.
Okay, so yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Yes, thank you very much. We shouldn't forget about the history. I heard Angara say, please, they are done with the history.
Was it me who said that?
No, it was Angara.
Yeah.
Angara, because you actually said that from your introduction, let's know our history, where we are, the challenge, what is it that we have done, where do we need
I don't want to speak on his behalf, but in my understanding, when he said, let us not only focus on history, he means that...
He didn't say, let's forget about the history, we are done with the history, how will you know where you are going if you don't know your history? So I know, I understand, I'm not... So I'll get him when he comes next in the morning tomorrow,
To be the first thing to discuss about. But when you are, because history is made through the process of life when people were striving to achieve something. Can I continue celebrating the victory of 1966 and the victory of 1970, for example, in war, where I have battles ahead of me of economy that I'm not fighting because we need to, yes, because 36 years is history. Can you also speak about that history now? Because it's not only about war and what happened, which is necessary actually to be where we are, but in the current moment, you will be able to listen to the same thing that maybe you have heard in 2015, you have heard in 2019, but can we be also unique and say, yes, history is there. But what can we do now as a nation?
Yes, I heard that one.
Visions must be there in celebration of Independence Day. Yes, it's history, but vision must be there too.
Obviously, both of them, because that is your foundation. So then you build now thereof, so that you are able to, you know, to stand still. Of course. The history should not perhaps be the only one now. Look at the challenge now that came with the history and then now address them. Of course, notwithstanding the issue of history. But so the challenge now, let's celebrate the independence and that's the history. And even currently now as we are facing now the economic struggle, so we couple them together. And we see where it will take us. But another question is, where is Netanyahu?
We have heard
of those chiefs, the commanders, and all these things, even the one that has resigned in U.S. there.
Yeah.
But where is Netanyahu?
It's a very good question. I think he's in his country. I don't know.
He's in his country, but the people are saying, even the Iranian, they were claiming that they were going to target him, to assassinate him. I'm not so sure whether that was history.
Do we have a certain wish that you want to be fulfilled? I think he's alive. I've also seen those videos and also information. I think it was just the war of misinformation. I think he's alive. And you also realize that, you know,
sometimes when you look at issues such as the war in Iran, it's the same thing with Palestine. When how things are turning out, it may not be the way you want, but it's the reality. It's the same thing with what happened when they killed the chief of security. Not chief of security, but the chief of the security council. Yeah.
It might be many, but what we are saying is that if the war had to be targeting the leaders, maybe the commander will understand.
Mm.
But if they are on the war front,
mm.
But in the case where you just capture and you kill the leaders,
mm.
president and things like that, maybe that is a different war thing.
Mm.
But now on this issue, let's see, have it as a speculation. But now the war, when is the war going to end? That's another problem.
Mm.
And now U.S. is calling for the allies to help.
Mm.
Nobody is willing to get in there because he never consulted anybody, apparently.
Mm.
So these are some of the things that worries you. And America, with their superiority in the space,
mm.
so are they able to come to the ground? If they come to the ground, that's going to be a different disaster.
No, because you know we may want them to go on the ground, but you know, I think it's about only winning. It's not really about where you can beat, because if you want to go, let's hold on.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, we are moving on with early morning scoop. And the issue with war. You know, it's not about what the person is wishing. It's not about the movies that you see, the James Bond that you watch. Because people, they die. And they don't come back. Institutions are being destroyed and they will not come back. And if you see the head of counter-terrorism, because that is a guy who is not only influential, but holding critical institutions, resigning. If I had to see a lot of changes which happened not only in Iran but also in US politics and also in African politics too, because we are connected to the world and we are listening so much. That's why there was a point to say, why do African leaders react so much when Trump said something? But you realize that he's a big guy. He may not be a good guy, but he's a big guy in terms of global politics, and America is influencing what is happening in the world. But you see that it's an interesting time to be alive, especially when you look at the history of the world, and you also look at things that are happening in front of us, and you also see the hypocrisy. There's also a war of hypocrisy, because if you want to, not really to say to make people angry, if you just want to ask a question to say, we want to be rational, we want to be good at reasoning, we want to make content-based decisions and arguments looking at international. Or if you just want to ask people to say, why do you want the war in Iran to end? Then they give their discussion. Then you ask yourself a question. What is your perspective in the war or in the situation of Gaza? Then they give you a different perspective. Then what is your perception on Greenland? Then you ask also about Russia and Ukraine to say, you find people who are supporting Russia to invade Ukraine are not supporting USA to invade in Iran. Then they also have a different view on Greenland. Then you ask yourself a question to say, why can't we just look at things the way we look at them, to say, you cannot justify intervention in another country. Maduro now is forgotten. People don't even speak about him. And he's a poor guy. And I think, you know, the new leadership just compromised, because what happened, especially if they threatened the big man who was the hope of a lot of people, just come pick him up in 30 minutes, which really shocked the world and brought a lot of fear too. So how can you can just come and pick up? It's a pickup without any fight. You're picking up a head of state and arrest him and his wife from his bed. You are so questioning to say sometimes, it's not correct. If that have happened to Maduro, another analyst are saying no, Venezuela is only known for Miss Universe and other things, but the leader is just a leader. Whether you are strong or not strong. And it's also show a lot about the people that are around us, because one thing that war should teach us, we have to contextualize it also, and then you put it in the perspective of human beings to realize the same. Some of these guys, when they got killed in war, particularly the top influential guys, they are being given out by people within them, their own system, both ways, either is in US, in Iran or in Israel. You realize to say it's also very difficult to trust another human being, particularly that you love so much, that you are in the same association or same institution. To say people may also have, you know.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Namibia's independence and an early Easter with oven fresh hot cross buns at only $16.99 for six. Get to a ShopRite today for the biggest price smash that you will experience in a long time. Unbeatable deals throughout the ShopRite store or anywhere else on meat at the bakery, takeaways, groceries, toiletries, and household cleaners. Hurry! These prices are only up to Sunday, the 22nd of March. ShopRite, shop smart at ShopRite.
Yeah, that is from ShopRite, especially looking at Independence Day celebration. So you cannot just celebrate Independence Day without making your family happy. That's why ShopRite is giving you sale, and also to celebrate that one of the things that you cannot take away from Africans is that they are good at organizing events. They are good at happy events. And they just like to go out. That going out and also celebrating. You see what happened, particularly in the world of social media, celebration of Independence Day. And any other event, there have been also questions to say. There was a time to say, why Africans, we like just the entertainment events. Even now, when you look at very dark moments when somebody has passed on, you realize to say after the funeral of an individual, people, the way they celebrate, it's changed the whole thing. But what is also necessary is that whether you are giving respect to a person, whether you are celebrating Independence Day, make sure that we must not forget to come together. And that is what ShopRite has brought you. And I hope, looking into that context, you really be able to get one or two things that you enjoy with not only your family, but also people that you have been together. Because if somebody was born in 1990, and you must also tell them at 2000 to say, we are also a veteran of the struggle, especially the struggle for economic development. Because if somebody was born in 1990 and until 1999, you have seen a lot. There is a lot that you have learned through also. And I think independence should also not... there is also something that I've observed, especially when it's coming to celebration of independence. There are people who... Yes, it's good that There are people who really contributed to the Namibia independence in different ways, through military struggle, diplomacy, and politics, to say, no, you guys were not there, things were very tough. But now is our time to fight the battle of the economy. Are you giving us weapons? Are you giving us weapons to fight the economic battle? And that weapon, we are speaking about finance. We are speaking about opportunities. Are we sending our young people to the front line, to those big rooms that are defining the future of Africa? Are we getting those weapons to fight for the future of the country? Are we sending the young people not only to the boardrooms, but to the main discussions, to the mining-related discussions, to the discussions of fish and diamonds, uranium, and also, are we also bringing youth to the negotiation table, particularly looking at the future of things such as energy? Because things change, policy changes, and also moment change. That's why war is not coming anymore like how it has been. But there's a different front line that has been established. There's a different war that is not won. And the question that scholars of public policy, scholars of political science have always been asked to say, have we really got independence in the African continent? And in definition of independence, to what extent is that independence? And what define an independent person? Is it the peace? Is it economy? Is it infrastructure? Are you politically free and economic in chain? Or you are partially in chain? Because that too should really be defined. And in terms of celebration, are we celebrating political freedom? Are we celebrating economic freedom? Or are we celebrating what we have done so far? And is the African continent really free? If you are free politically, if you are free economically, what is limiting us to move forward? So after a very short commercial break, then we'll be able to engage a public policy analyst, particularly looking into that context.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda beli nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, dora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated, we'll be joined shortly by Gabriel Yambo, particularly from the lessons of history, and also looking at public policies, and also look at what Namibia have done so far. What can you celebrate? Gabriel Yambo, thank you very much for joining us at Early Morning Scoop. Good morning, and how are you doing? Hello?
Very interesting topic.
So, let us look at the content of independence. Let us look at the good things. In 2 days' time, Namibia is not going to be a youth anymore. We are going to be 36 years. There's a lot of things that happen in that process before and after independence. Maybe let us look at what we can say are some of the great achievements that Namibia have done, and that you can really see that are tangible and people really should not forget. But just before we go into that context, let us look at the short commercial break, then we'll come shortly.
Get ready, Namibia, for 1 week of incredible savings with the Namibia Price Smash at ShopRite. Make it the perfect Independence Weekend with deals like 2-liter Nola Sunflower Oil for only 68 Namibian dollars 99 and 10 kg Rice King Long Grain Parboiled Rice for just 169 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out on the Namibia Price Smash. Valid until 22 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Yeah, let us look at key achievements, key things that you can really say. This is what I'm very proud of when I'm in Namibia. This is what independence mean for me. And this is what we should consider, what we have, what we did not have before, and what we are enjoying now.
Yeah, there are really a lot of amazing developments that we have achieved since independence.
Yeah.
When you are looking at that, you are... came from a brutal apartheid policies and regime. I mean, when you look at our political stability and democracy, poverty reduction, you look at from Bantu education to quality education, the expansion of our education, you look at healthcare, a very much improvement in our healthcare. You look at the economic growth and infrastructure. I mean, our infrastructure are top notch in SADC. Even if not in the world, you look at our social development, gender equality. You look at our human development and gains. It's just a lot of achievement that we have achieved at independence.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there are those who think apartheid was better.
There are those who want to take us back. I don't want to go back, even if there were good things. And I don't think it's a good argument. But I've also heard about that, to say, how can you compare with what happened? Yeah,
it's tragic, and these people, they often bring this up as a way of achieving cheap political gains, and maybe because of some of the shortcomings of the government, and then they bring up political talks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at our political stability and democracy, if you look at SADC, I think Namibia is one of the countries that are very stable. Peaceful. You look at Zambia, for example. The president died 1 year or 2 years back, and still not yet buried.
Yes.
The political stability is not there. I mean, if you look at Namibia, yes, we have some issues, but
when you speak about our education system, really in terms of literacy,
It's even rare to find somebody who cannot read and write now. I think that it's still a very good relevant point, especially when it comes to education, to say we may want a better education, that more advanced. But really, you also find now a granny, they are now on TikTok. We are communicating with them. They are there singing. And you really say to say sometimes development or good things can really be seen in that context. Yeah.
100%. And when you look at independence, these statistics were very low. And then you add now the free education. I give you an example of healthcare.
Yeah.
Over 70% of people now live near healthcare facilities. You know, many villages have clinics.
Kids are no more born at home like how it has been.
You know. If we look at our birth certificate, some of us, they are written village names because we were born in a village. Kids have been born in health facility, in hospital, not at home. The progress, in fighting HIV, major diseases such as malaria, polio is almost eradicated, and the life expectancy, these are excellent achievements that we have achieved at independence.
Now, before we look at the challenges also, there's also a question that also should be asked, especially when you speak about Namibia. We are speaking about everyone within the borders of Namibia, somebody who is having Namibian documents and all other relevant laws that require a person to be a Namibian citizen. I want to look at the Namibians as ourselves to say, are we united as a country? Are there things that we can really share that unite us? You can speak about tribe, but the context I wanted to get is social cohesion, to say, do we have that really commonality of being Namibians? Are we united? Do we like each other? Are we still seeing each other as you are from this side? How is progress being done, particularly in terms of nationalizing the nation or its social cohesion? Are we seeing that from 1990 to where we are?
That's what I'm telling you. We disagree on politics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just meet Namibian from no matter which background, or ethnic origin.
Yeah.
Just meet outside. Meet outside the country. Meet in the Africa. Meet where. There you will see the unity. And on top of that, I think we are still good. We are still good. We enjoy sport. We came together. Our Premier Soccer League, this is full. People are enjoying. We are proud to be Namibian. Even though there's few, political challenges and politicians who use ethnic origin just for gaining cheap political points. Of the problem we have in this country. Other than that, we are really proud to be Namibians. We love our country. We enjoy our country.
I really wanted to emphasize on sport. I watch soccer more, and I support Namibians, either as athletes or any other Namibians who perform for the country. I've seen what happened during Boma. There was when she was really doing very well in terms of sport at the international level. Then I think sport is also a unifying factor to Namibians. But now, before we go to challenges, let us also look at other key things that in Namibia, that foreigners or people from other country finding it interesting. Are Namibians able to see the beauty of the country, either in terms of tourism or either in terms of resources
in terms of, you know, in the nation, and natural sceneries, especially in terms of the country. Do we know our country as Namibians? Are we enjoying that post, you know, 1990, or we are still isolated in our regions, we are still isolated in our town? How do you see that, particularly in terms of exploring the country?
One of the challenges that we have in Namibia is, you know, the issue of regionalism that you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because people, we don't travel. We should encourage local tourism. I'm telling you, Namibia is one of the most beautiful countries on earth.
Mm-hmm.
If you just travel every corner of the country, mm-hmm. and then you see the beauty of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And then when foreigners, they come here, they see all this. And mm-hmm. we don't know our country. So we have to encourage local tourism. Namibia mm-hmm. is a beautiful country, and people, we don't travel.
Mm.
You know, we don't travel. You know, in Ghana, during the time of Kwame Nkrumah,
mm.
he came up with a policy of saying, students, if you are from the north,
mm.
you must study your high school, you must go in the south.
Mm-hmm.
If you are from the west,
mm.
your high school, study in the east, so that they mm. kill this notion of regionalism and tribalism, and, you know, have a chance to explore your own country.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you say you are a Namibian, mm. you are not simply a Namibian from Zambezi or from the north.
Mm-hmm.
You are a Namibian
mm.
who knows your country in and out.
Mm.
We should travel with our kids, and then we show them the beauty mm. Of this country. And when they grow up,
mm.
they'll be positive nationalists. Mm-hmm. Who love their country, who mm. traveled their country, who know mm. every corner, who know the beauty
mm.
of their state. I therefore think we need to encourage more local tourism and show our kids and ourselves
mm.
know not just this beauty, because when foreigners they come here, they see all of these beautiful mm. things, and we the local people don't know.
Yeah, Gabriel Yambo, before you are a public analyst, you read history, and I also know you in that area. Let us look at now what brought independence, and if the project of independence is fully implemented. Was the aim before 1990 still being seen? What can you say about independence? Are we politically, economically, and also socially independent? Mm-hmm. And at what level, particularly in the past 36 years post 1990, to what level was the project of independence and the intention of the founding fathers and mothers of Namibia aimed for?
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
You know, our forefather died for this country so that mm. we can be free
mm.
Politically, economically.
Mm.
But one can say, and I can submit to us here, that we might have gotten freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because independence means you are independent to produce you are doing your own things.
Mm, mm, mm.
And unfortunately, some of the areas that our forefather went in exile to fight for have not yet been achieved.
Mm.
Apart from the political and the freedom that we have,
mm.
you still have the fight for the economy. We don't control our economy, which will then bring the persistent challenges that we are facing now.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the extreme inequality, high unemployment,
mm-hmm.
Poverty, which is disturbing our nation,
mm-hmm.
and the education and quality, you know, the skill gaps that we have, we still have the challenges of health, such as HIV, the economic vulnerability that we have. You know, these things are mainly caused because we don't control our economy. Our economy is run by foreigners and the people who were benefiting before. But again, if you are looking at the world, the new world order now, it's really very difficult to address some of these things. If you look at the countries like Zimbabwe, where they tried to do this, and you know, we all know the result. So it's tough.
But if I have to give you the scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is worse and 10 is 100%, where do you place the project of independence in that scale?
I would say we are at 50%.
Okay.
Because again, now us also the new generation.
I think you read my mind. Is a question I wanted us to look at, especially the role of youth post independence, and we'll be looking at that after this short commercial break. Then just stay learning.
Okay.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do. With Express Credit's Easy Payday Loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Ventuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC, we courier countrywide. Call us now!
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And we are in communication with Gabriel Yambo. Gabriel Yambo, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let us look at post-independence. Let us look at the role of, I'm not saying young people anymore, because a lot of people who are born in 1990, have we also done our part to not only celebrate, but to play our role in the building of Namibia?
Yes, sir. The thing is, young people, we need to be, you know, we need to take off our shoes and be serious, contribute to the economy, and also engage the government that, no, we can also work, we can create employment, we, you know. And I'm very happy with the new government, with the new youth scheme that they brought up. We will see how that will progress. But this story of drinking alcohol day and night can contribute nothing.
Nothing.
And it's foreigners who are coming here and they are the ones that are running the economy. The young people also have to step up. But again, they need guidance, they need policies that are at their favor. So I cannot just say you are a young person, you must create employment. How? If I'm already struggling, I don't have a job, how will I employ another person? But again, that should not be the excuse. We need to... to work, we need to work hard. Mm-hmm. You know, you are getting paid, you spend your whole money on alcohol, and then you are complaining. Our children will again judge us that what have we done after 36 years of independence? Our young generation will judge us. But we have to come to the fore, contribute, and be innovative and create opportunities so that we can also, you know, and take, so that we can take control of our economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe last one. If you have a power and opportunity to change one thing, just one, in Namibia, what is that thing that you are going to change? Just one power, one decision, a power to do, just one thing that you really think this one is the main, and can really be able to assist moving forward.
I'll say I'll look at the vocational education. Vocational education, if we can pay attention to that, and you know, if we can popularize, you know, vocational education is one of the, if you look at Germany, if you look at Japan, if you look at which country, South Korea, if you look at China, this country developed not because of, you know, people didn't pay too much emphasis on, you know, on academic education. It was vocational training which brought industry to life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, in Namibia, if we can emulate that, you know, we can go further and really look back and say, we have created so much industry, we have created so much companies that are employing, that are exporting, that are making valuable contribution to our country, like what happened in China and all these developed countries that I have mentioned. Other than that, we have to keep on working. Young people take off our shoes, contribute to the country, because one day our children will also judge us and say, for 40, 50 years, what have you done to the country?
It's a very good advice. So, Gabriel Yamba, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for your time and input.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Yeah, that was Gabriel Yamba. You've heard it yourself. Take off your shoes, take off your socks, and also don't just be dancing and partying every day. Make sure that, because also saying before 30, you may complain about your background, but after that, after 35, you also become a background to say, what also did you do? Because those are very difficult questions, because if you ask everybody, because we might be from the same generation, we might not maybe get equal opportunity, but we are always given an opportunity to do something. The same question we are asking our leaders to say, is that all that you can do in 36 years? It's the same question that we are also going to be asked to say, Chief, for 36 years were you just complaining, or you have also moved somewhere? For 36 years, how many people did you also help? Because one day you become or you are already a parent. Maybe your child are not grown enough. But they also come to say, but Papa, when things are collapsing, when money is being lost in SOEs, when institutions are disappearing, and you said you went to school with these guys, what is your role in that? Where were you when, you know, things are being destroyed? Where were you when education was not coherent? Where were you when there was policy inconsistency? What did you do? Did you just speak? Did you just complain? Or you also played a role?
And there are always heroes and also those who end up not doing anything. But the question should always be there to say, before you are asked, do something, because that page, you're still going to feel it. Because history, there is a saying to say, history is judge all of us. That is your role to play. That's why there are always those who really do well. And also there are also those who you can really say, yes, maybe when people went to fight, you did not fight, but what did you do? Your age mates become generals, and they become colonels, and they become, some of them, they died in the front line. You, where were you? Maybe you were also working in business. Maybe you were working also somewhere. Or you were just at the village praying. Because at the end of the day, I understand that Namibia has to be built not only by those who have power, but also by those who are able. But that should always be the question of everybody. Good morning.
David, let me sum up my point.
Okay. No. You have a democratic right to speak.
Yeah, but that democratic right sometimes is stripped out by the powerful people. You see what is happening with the Americans and the
Israelis. No. Let's talk about our space in Namibia, because that is a platform given.
So now, yes, what I was saying, I remember yesterday you were talking about the graduate, yes, and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, not very much, man.
Yeah.
It's not much on the graduate from different institutions of higher learning.
Mm.
Because those ones are well positioned to at least maneuver some kind of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And issues of economic challenge. So, but I'm more concerned of those who have fallen on the side where those ones who might not have gone to university, who might not have a formal education, those ones are the ones whom I'm very much concerned when it comes to unemployment and economic challenge. Like the previous speaker said,
mm-hmm.
We need to move so much and at least appreciate some of these things.
Mm.
One point that you were talking about, people always say, no, people don't eat peace. Mm. What do you eat during the war? If there's war, obviously, I don't think there's a way, means of making bread. But peace actually is a determinant of bread on the table and things like that. That's my analysis.
Yeah. And I think that argument is a valid argument to say peace is good. And there is also what you call a peaceful poverty. You are still in pain, but you know, you have peace. But that is not, that should not be the end. It should be the beginning of something.
Because
it should not be the only thing to say, yes, you have peace, I'm protecting your border, people are not fighting. But when the peace must also be defined by also, you know, other things to say, okay, there is peace, but what are people doing in that stable country?
If they should be able to do something during the period of peace and stability.
Mm. Mm.
So if there's, of course, I know there's peace, poverty or whatever you have mentioned, but that cannot be compared to when there is war, people are running, nobody is selling anything, you know, people are dying, there's confusions, the market is disrupted, like what is happening there. At least that one can endure because you are able to survive, unlike when there's war. Of course, both them are not present, but when there is war, the absence of peace is there, and obviously to be many people will be unable to provide even bread, can't even go to the shop even if you have money in your pocket. So yeah, the graduates may be there. You ask the person what are the few things that he can do. It's good that you mentioned about the VTC.
Is there
anybody to lead them and organize them? They coordinate what they have. so that they can then be up, you know, you, I don't know what you call it. So you make some kind of organization and plan some kind of intervention and then help them. I don't think they are really well organized. Maybe the people who are leading them, but it's up to us now to see. Is the constituency level, well, like you were saying yesterday, those unemployed youth, I mean, not youth, but the graduate, what is it that they cannot do? What is it that may be hindering them? I know some policies, interventions is needed there for them to maybe register or have access to funding. Maybe that's the portion where they need to be facilitated. But what is it that the graduates are really doing? Can't they organize themselves? They know their classmates, different faculties. Why is it that they are failing to organize themselves and start employing those who are on the roadside? Can't they become entrepreneurs?
All of them.
Why not? Entrepreneur is not specific for somebody.
Anybody can
become an entrepreneur.
I'm just asking to say all of them can become entrepreneurs.
Those who will be absorbed into government or into other structures is fine. Mm-hmm. But okay,
just hold on.
Eshi wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paketi. Top score instant. Oya ita kwefindano talishambula, loku shuna kofikola, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu, ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia, oshipu ne ngono, lando kashako oko KG mwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi Longwashishe, ndeto SMS o shicha, instant. Totumu kombali, oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amaricha, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
In conclusion
is that maybe we also need to revisit the history. It's from 90.
Mm-hmm.
And see in this structure of the government or the structure that were not there, were they populated by the black majorities, not only black, the colored and all things, even though they were also having a share during the colonial time and apartheid. Mm-hmm. So now, where we are now, identify some kind of room for improvement. Let's move ahead, let's move forward, and improve on those ones, put some policies and laws that are responsive to our needs and concerns. I think that's my conclusion.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, sir.
Right. Yeah, those are things that, you know, one of the contribution, especially looking at independence. And maybe the other thing that we also need to look at, I think it's not really to say is a tribe, it's also different sectors. Because when you look at, there have been views regarding professions in Namibia to say, it seems like yes, people have right and choices of professions, but you look like some careers, some professions are still dominated by not few people. You can look at tribe, you can look at the background, then you ask yourself, maybe we are getting there, maybe we are integrating that area. You look at they've been complained to say, no, the banking sector, why the banking sector is only dominated? Why the military? Why the police? Somebody gave one day an argument to say, no, we want to see one day. And it was just for argument's sake to say maybe a police chief who is maybe a bastard. Or maybe from a different a tribe, just to say, are they not interested? Are they not within the ranks? Or just an argument also to say, we still want to see a few changes coming to certain institutions too. And that will not only unite us, but also see what kinds of people we are. But in terms of affirmative action, really, there we
we have done a lot. Gender equality, there we have done a lot. Inclusion of the vulnerable, inclusion of those who are previously disadvantaged, women, and those who are previously disadvantaged, there we did very well. And my thinking is the content and also context. So in 2 days' time, will be 36 years, and the question should always be there to say, what have I done? What did I do? And also, what can I do moving forward, especially looking at 36 years of independence? Because it's not only about looking at what other people have not done, because those who have been around, they are now old, they are now retired. Now is the time also for the young adults, particularly those who are leading institutions. If you look at the history of Namibia, just look at 1990, look at the structure of the government, look at the structure of the public sector, you look at the pictures of Namibian parliament, you look at the profession, the age, look at the current structure of Namibian parliament, you really see that we have moved. I really see that even in terms of age and numbers, look at the institutions, who are leading those institutions, and the generation of Namibians too. The other time I was giving an example of saying, if you look at institutions such as, just to pick UNAM for example, realize to say institution is led by, if you have to go back to say Namibian youth academicians, if you have to put it that way, those are the first generation, not even the first generation of students at the University of Namibia. But you really be able to say that if you look at key industry, there are changes. But in terms of what need to be done, that should not say we should not look into the future. So with these 10 minutes, we'll be able to look at what is on the Villager newspaper for today. What is on top of the Villager newspaper for today. And also, in terms of the 18th of March 2026, in terms of the content, what this that we have, and what can you be able to learn? So, top of the page of the Villager newspaper stated that Namibians consumed 6.9 million gigabytes on TikTok content. And data usage generates close to 1 billion in 3 months. And, more money is be made online. And, maybe, so we are on TikTok. And, you know, if you look at the amount of money that are generated, they are closer to 1 billion in 3 months. And that is based on current statistics. And moving forward, if you look at the page 3 of the Villager newspaper, you find 2026 April graduation notice for University of Namibia. And there is a question that is very difficult to ask a student to say, when are you graduating when others are graduating? One really say, no, please, if you don't see me talking about graduation, things are not easy. If you find you must be also cautious. If you have somebody who is doing a course of 3 years and is on the 5th or 6th year, sometimes just be kind, because there, at the books, things are not easy. But you find those lucky who are going to graduate, particularly in April, at the University of Namibia. There is a notice, and there are also instructions there, especially when it comes to what you need to wear, graduation attires. And so graduation in Southern Campus, UNAM, on the 9th of April, Katima Muriro Campus on the 14th of April, Rundu Campus on the 16th of April, Northern Campus 22nd April, and also Vendo Campus on 28th of April. Various sessions, various faculties, see health, commerce, law, education, humanity and development, agriculture and engineering. There is also a question to us to say, the young people who graduate, they are doing their best. They are doing their best. They are entering the system. And look at the skills required. They also look at institutions to say, absorb the generation of Namibia that are coming into that field. And also give them opportunity so that they will be able to do one or two things and become relevant in the market. So, looking at page 4, it stated that local producers meet 80% of domestic fresh pastry needs, and that is a good development in security, in food security. And look at page 5, it is indicated that the treasury team rounded for maneuvering budget trilemma. And in terms of public policy and public's analyst and public policy analyst and economist, especially looking at the budget, also those who are saying when it comes to the budget appropriation bill, treasury must be thanked based on their perspective, especially in terms of prioritizing key sectors. And look at also the situation. What is the best budget proposal at this point in time? Is it the best that we can do? Are there things that we can applaud the finance minister and also the team? Are there things that we can also be able to say need to be looked at? So, page 6, look at Velvicia University. Application is still going on, still ongoing. Look at the application, Bachelors of Education, Bachelors of Education Honours, Senior Primary, Bachelors of Social Work Honours, Diploma, Legal Studies, Level 6, and also an LLB, the Bachelor of Laws Honours. Make sure that you go to a Wichita University. You want to become a lawyer, to be an advocate, you want to be a senior counsel one day. Go to Velvicia University. You want to be a social worker, go to University of Velvicia, or Velvicia University. You want to study education at the secondary level and also senior primary, honors degree. You get an opportunity. And looking at this, Namibia has really transformed. You know, those years, if you hear that there is a teacher, I think it's a BEC, Basic Education Certificate, and the BETD. And at that time, if somebody has a BETD, even at the village, people, they have to remove their head to say, no, David there has a BETD, must respect. Because by then, in the early 2000s, not all teachers had BETD. That was the greatest achievement. And you can't go to an argument with somebody who has a BETD. But you really realize to say education has transformed. Now educators, even at the primary, you find teachers with master's degree, teachers with honors degree. You can really say in terms of the level of education and the quality, there are some really improvement, particularly in that sector. Some of the qualifications and profession that we have now in Namibia, they were never there, even in 2002, 2005. But now specializations are there. Yeah, look at page 7 on circular economy. Touted as a sustainable path for Namibia. It's an article by my colleague Dwight Links there. And they get that content. FNB Namibia, an example of corporate Namibia, developing Namibian sport. It's an article by HD on page 8. And make sure when it comes to National Bank, and also its investment in national sport development. What is the content of that conversation? And look at industrial briefs that you can also be able to look at page 9. And look at page 10. It's an opinionated article on agriculture by Hanks Saisal, on understanding the effect of monoculture. And they get that content especially if you are in that sector. Another opinionated article. And as I indicated, page 12, you can also be able to look at USAID and the price of items. So they say real good chicken. Make sure that when you are celebrating independence, you are not celebrating on an empty stomach. Look at the stick. Look at the combo. You can only get that from the Villager newspaper. And you'll be able to get what is USAID selling. What are some of the things which are on special? And what is a better option to utilize your funds in supporting especially USAID? And yeah, that will bring us to the end of our conversation for today. And we'll leave you in the good hands of the big mic, especially when you are transferring the mic to Ondangwa. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. And sharp.